Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Land Fun Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning. It's John Boudreaux.
Well, should we explain why there was no podcast yesterday?
If you'd like to. I just uploaded it, so.
So you got it up now?
It's up and running.
Okay.
Everything is good to go.
What was that, a password glitch?
Yeah, so what happened is I got locked out of my account, and I come to find out I needed to do a new training in order so I can get a new password. So.
Wow.
Everything's going to be okay, though.
I'm glad I'm not in production.
Yep. It's a mess, but everything's good now. Podcast is up. It's in full. Everything's happy.
A new training.
New training.
Yeah. It's 3 days.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I had to watch a 42-minute video yesterday, and now I got a whole other slew of things today. But it's up and running, so everything's good to go.
That's why you make the big bucks.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah, I got you. All right, well. Welcome to the show, folks. It's Open Land Fun Sunday, so if you care to get a call in, be our first caller of the morning. We don't have any prizes or anything for that, but if you'd like to be the first caller, you can call in. We'd love to hear from you, 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
You have no gifts or prizes, but our sponsors today, we appreciate each and every one, Boyd's One Stop, the Belleville Meat Market, Skeeter's Auto Service, Mainstream Marketing, and Texan Roofing. All right. Looks like east-northeast winds about 12 to 15 down on the island in Galveston, 50 degrees down there. It did warm up during the night anyway. Today they're looking at a 40% chance of rain, mostly a.m. in the morning. High of 67 today. Winds will be east at 10 to 20. Tonight, 40% chance of showers, low of 61, winds will be southeast 5 to 10. And tomorrow, looks like only about a 20% is what they're calling for. That was originally going to be the
big one, huh?
Wettest day, but yeah. We'll take it. It's all good. High of 69, winds will be south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. I would think it'd probably be a little cooler right down on the water, on the bay itself, due to, you know, the drops in water temperatures. We had about a 10 to 13 degree drop in water temperatures for this little episode here throughout the bay. So here we go again.
And offshore for high island of Matagorda Ship Channel out 60 nautical miles for today. Southeast winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 3 to 5 feet. And Monday, south winds 10 to 15 knots, seas 3 to 4 feet with patchy fog, slight chance of showers in the afternoon. And it looks like Monday night is when that next front's coming through. And Tuesday, we've got a north wind. So
next front.
Yeah, the next front. And
good.
But it turns around because we've got an east wind on Wednesday, south wind on Thursday.
I got you.
Goodness. And at the buoy, 22 nautical miles east of the Galveston jetties, we have an east-northeast wind at 22 miles per hour, gusting to 25. Barometric pressure is 30.27. And water temp out there is 59.5 degrees.
Eagle Point, east-northeast at 13, gusting to 15, 50-degree water, 50-degree air, barometric pressure is 30.27 inches. Morgan's Point, east-northeast at 8 to 9 miles per hour, barometric pressure is 30.26 inches, 55-degree water, 48-degree air, and that's where we stand. It'll continue to warm as the day develops. Looking at tides today, we're on a four tide schedule. Got a low coming up. I mean, already occurred at the Galveston Channel at 1:35 a.m. Our next tide is a high at 7:49 a.m., then a low at 12:59 p.m., then a high at 7:56 p.m. Those are Galveston Channel predictions. 7:02 a.m. sunrise, 6:05 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase right now is 20%. And 11-hour days right now, 11 hours of sunlight. So we're here, open for calls, open lines. It's all good on a Sunday morning. Probably going to be a little slow. Rockets lost. Big comeback for Oklahoma last night. I think we had them down around 20 or whatever, and they came all the way back. I didn't get to watch any of that Alliance football last night. I botched that one. Well, I got into a Western. Yeah. Didn't flip it on over, so I watched that instead. I don't know. Old school. It looks like it was pretty cold yesterday for that Port O'Connor tournament. Those guys look pretty miserable. Fishing in that northeast wind will cut you in half.
Yes, it will. And it was cold yesterday.
It was just that old bone-chilling, damp, cloudy, windy, cold day. Just a cold gray day on the bay. Sound like a song. And really nothing else. I mean, nothing going on in my life right now. I'm ready to get back on the water this week so I can have something to talk about. Just you go 2 or 3 days without fishing, you just you lose your positive attitude. I'm ready to get this negativity out of my life and get back on the water.
The type of weather we had the last few days was producing negativity.
I know.
Oh, that's, my goodness.
That's nasty.
Even starting Monday of last week, man, with all that fog and all that stuff, that depresses me.
I was talking to my buddy, old Mike Herron, yesterday, and his son plays baseball for Baylor, and I follow him. His son's really a good ball player, and they had to play an exhibition game in the snow up there in Waco the other evening. That's just not baseball weather.
Nope, it's not.
But it's coming. Hey, we have a live one. We have Ron on one. Let's go to him. We'll start the day off. He's first caller of the day. Ron, I don't have a prize for you, but you're the first caller of the day. Good morning.
Good morning to you two gentlemen. Now, I was going to lay a little fishing report from Livingston on you. I went up there Wednesday to Blue Water Cove.
Yeah.
Got up there about 3:30 and fished to dark. And I wind up with 13 blues. Four of them was 5 pounds, and the other was like 2 to 3 pounds.
Yeah.
But it was a slow bait, but once I got the shad, they started hitting. And then I was fishing with some shrimp I'd brought back from rollover, and the only thing wanted to eat that shrimp was them yellow bass, and I put that pole up.
Little yellow bass were all over it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Minute it hit the bottom, boy, they'd take off with it. But yeah,
well,
it was.
Livingston ought to get going. It's a normal pool now. We get quit running all that water through it, and maybe fishing will pick up because it's been tough on everybody all winter. You know, the crappie bites just at a minimum right now. But once you got shad for bait, that's what the catfish wanted, huh?
That was it. I mean, they were the small ones, but they was enough to get on the hook. And like I say, them big old 5-pound blues, I wound up with 4 of them.
There you go.
And that's what they hit. And all the other ones were the good eating ones, you know, from 2 to 3 pounds. But
right.
I wound up, I think it was 3 quarts of fillets out of them.
Hey, that's good eating, fresh catfish right out of the water, man. That's hard to beat.
I'm going to tell you. But now one of my cousins had went up there, same spot, I think it was Monday, and she wound up with 7 of them. Mm-hmm. But she said until the shad come in, she never hit nothing. But once that shad come in, there's one spot that we go up there and throw, and we always catch them. You know, you can throw all around everywhere else up there, and we don't catch them. But that one, she said, finally, when she hit them, she started catching the fish.
So what you're talking about is fishing shad itself in the water.
Yeah.
I thought you were using it for bait.
Oh, I was.
Okay.
That's what I'm
okay.
saying. once we catch it in the cast net,
I got you.
And get it on the hook, that's what them cats are eating right now.
Okay, I understand now.
I've been wanting to go over to Conroe. I've been hearing so much about it, but then I listened to the report the other morning, and when a guide ain't doing no good, there ain't no sense going over.
Now, Richard, fish dude, he lit them cats up yesterday. I saw a picture on Facebook. I think they had 49 of them.
Yeah.
Pretty much laying all over the floor of the boat, man. That slammed his old boat up. But, yeah, they lit them up pretty good yesterday.
Oh, well. He did go on out then.
And he did send me the video of the under the bridge there at the Trinity River, that alligator eating that dog. That wasn't that wasn't too cool to watch.
No, it wasn't. I got about a third of the way in it and went to something else. I said, I don't need to see that.
Yeah, there at the end, that alligator finally ran that dog down. You could hear the dog barking at the alligator right before it ate him.
Man. Yeah.
Who would throw a stick in the water and send their dog out there with a giant alligator in the water like that? I don't understand that.
Somebody wanting to get rid of a dog?
Maybe so. That's
that's the only thing I can think.
Gator bait.
Mm. Yeah. But that's about all I got.
Well, we appreciate the report from up there. I didn't get down the list far enough to get a hold of Harry yesterday. You know, Harry Detan up there at Pinwall.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But better days ahead, you know, the crappie bite. With this next warm-up, they ought to start all that Kickapoo area and all that. They ought to start catching some crappie with a water stable like it is now.
That's why I got to get my boat fixed. I let my son-in-law use it last time. Went out, and he left the motor up on the transit saver, and it hung up the tilt and trim. Well, one of the pistons come down, so he decided he's just going to shove on the motor, and I guess he blew a seal or something, because you hit that tilt and trim now, fluid just comes flying out of it. So I got to get that fixed and get it ready to go.
Yeah, you got
to
get a seal kit put in that your trim unit. Yep.
See, I thought that happened. Why didn't you just leave it alone? It would have come down on its own.
Yeah.
Well, I just figured you wanted it down. Well, I did, but I didn't want it messed up. But, you know, he's young. He'll learn.
Well, we all learn from our mistakes, but some mistakes cost more than others.
I get it, <agree. laughs>
Boy, I've been there and done that, brother. I know. Well, Ron, thanks for the report from Livingston. And, hey, have you a nice Sunday, my friend. Good hearing from you.
Hey, talk to old Flog, tell him to get after it.
Oh, he will. You know Flog, he's a ringtail tutor. He'll get after it.
You know, that boy, I listened to him going out. I thought, man, you crazy going out in this weather.
Not him, man. He lives for that. He lives to, he loves going in that nasty stuff.
I'm telling you, and he catches them, too.
That's it. Yeah, that's right. Can't catch them on a dock.
Yeah, that's it. All right, y'all have a fun morning.
Okay, Ron, see you, man.
Bye.
Flog likes going then because nobody else is out there.
Yeah.
I like fishing with him. There'll be a boat 500 yards from us. He goes, oh, man, who in the world is this? They're getting close.
They're getting close, huh?
Hell, I can't even see them.
They're bird dogging.
They're bird dogging. All right, let's take a quick break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here on Open Line Fun Sunday. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Sunday. It's 419 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our callers. Let's go up Liberty County way now. Let's talk to Rhino Rick. He's our second caller of the day. Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Mickey, Admiral Benny.
How you doing?
How y'all doing today?
We're here, man. We are here.
I mean, it's like it's going to be a better day. You know, you're talking about that poor old dog that them people threw that stick out there, that last caller. He said, well, you know, you said, what kind of a person would throw a stick out for a dog to get with an alligator in the area? And it reminded me of that call you had that time to where that guy called in and said his wife suggested him wading Sheldon Reservoir. And
yeah.
He wanted to know what it was, how it would be. Well, I used to fish out there back in the 70s, and we got some good catfish. It was some darn good bass fishing, really good bass fishing and catfish.
Yeah.
But, you know, you had to deal with the alligators, and they never bothered me except once in a while. You know, your old bob would go down and you'd take your oar and, you know, you knew it was hung up on something, and take your oar and you put it off in water. You feel an alligator down there with it. Got to get your bobber back.
Yeah, well, I'll let him have it.
He can have it.
I ain't going to wrestle no alligator for a bobber, I can tell you that.
No, and you ain't going to stick your hand down there and see what's...
No, like you did, stick that oar down there.
Yeah, stick the oar down there and see what it is, and go from there. Like if you get out in the wilds around here, around the water and all, you deal with certain kinds of snakes and you deal with alligators.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, just the way it is. Anyway, did you get out fishing at all yesterday, or did you kind of let them
I fish Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays, man. That's it.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I'm on 20-pounders every cast, and I'll probably pop out in the afternoon on weekends. But, no, I don't fish weekends.
Yeah, this ain't the time of year this ain't the kind of weather you want to go out in.
No,
anyway.
It was a little raw yesterday with that wind. I mean, you could have done it. We fish and worse, but it's for the type of fish we have nowadays, it's really not worth the effort for me to go be miserable to catch 2-pounders, 3-pounders.
Yeah. You know, my son was asking me about something. He's wanting to get into some, you know, saltwater fishing, and we've done a lot. And he was talking about, you know, tying on a mirror lure. And he likes to use these spin reels, you know, what I call a hay baler. It's the old bale, you know, over the front.
Yeah, the old Mixmasters.
Yeah, and I told him, yeah, really. I said, he says, how do you tie one on? I says, well, you don't tie one on. You have to use a swivel or something on it. I said, the best thing to do on that is to use a clip. And I said, if you don't, you're just going to twist your line up.
Yeah, or just use braided line. You know, braided line's the best thing there is to put on spinning.
I was going to ask about that because I'm not familiar with the braided line yet. And that was my question. Do you have to use a swivel with the braid like you do mono?
Yeah, well, you do. It'll cut down on a lot. But I do that if I have to furnish one to a customer or something. I'll go ahead and have swivel and all that on there, even with braid, because they don't know how to fish that reel properly. They drop it down and put those, you know, they get those loop knots in it, you know, because they don't keep any tension on it. They'll they'll drop the rod tip and then reel slack, and that's what causes that. You've got to, you can't do that. And that's why mono, I mean, you're lucky if you get one trip out of a spinning rig with mono that you don't have all the tangle ups, and it's nasty. It's a nightmare.
Well, I know even with a bait caster, if you're catching some fish like a catfish, if you don't have a swivel on it, you know,
they do all that spinning when you're reeling them up.
They do the death roll thing like an alligator would.
Yeah.
So you got to put the spinner in place. But anyway, he was asking about that, and I told him, no, you got to have a little swivel or somewhere you got to have. I would always just, you know, hook the tie on a snap swivel, and then, you know, you can quick change out your bait right quick, and you want to go to plastics, you just, you know, cut the line and tie on the plastic.
Yeah, make a shock leader with a barrel swivel, and then have you a snap at the end of the shock leader, and then you can change out your baits that way.
Sure, yeah.
That way you got double swivels on there. You know, and everybody goes, well, it, you know, there's too many weak links. But if you tie your knots right, none of it's going to be a problem. None of it.
Yeah, I've taught them a lot about tying knots and stuff with mono and different things. And I know there used to be charts in these different places. You'd go to a fish shop and get a chart on different kinds of knots and things that you could tie in for, like, splicing lines together and things like that. And you just don't. I hadn't seen any of that in a long time, and I just wonder if
Yeah, that blood stuff, knots, all bright knots, all that. Yeah, your line together. You bet.
Yeah, it's. I know when Mono came out.
Internet's replaced that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I guess you can get all those techniques on the internet.
Yeah, just Google knot tying, and it'll all come up. There's videos. I mean, it's just
probably fishing line knot tying or monofilament knot tying.
Yeah.
I know. I learned all those knots when they came out with mono. And that's where we, you know, that was on every, you'd buy a roll of monofilament. It has a little booklet in it, or the brochure thing, whatever, the pamphlet, and show you all the different ways to use it.
Yeah.
Because it was different. We were used to braided, you know, early braided line at that time.
Braided Dacron's what we used to throw when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
I remember when mono came out, I was about, 8 or 9 years old. And boy,
yeah,
talk about memory. Man, it's all stiff and coily.
Yeah.
It's like a pig's tail. I said, man.
Yeah, I would take that, toss it out there and let that coil kind of lay limp, and it would let you know if anything touched it.
Yeah. You know what we used to do? We'd spool up our old ambassadors with that stiff stuff, and then I'd take it out in the backyard and tie it to a tree and then walk all the way down and
stretch
just
it.
Start stretching it, pulling it like you're trying to break off and get all the stretch.
That's it.
Then reel it back up on there tight, and then then it was good to go for about a week or two.
Yeah. Well, you wanted your line on there tight anyway.
And who made, I think Shakespeare had mono.
Uh-huh.
Then Strin.
Abu Garcia came out with the brand for a long time.
Yeah,
too.
I remember they had that coffee-colored mono for a while.
That's right. Yeah.
And, now we're going way back in time.
Yeah. Yeah, talk about that. I had, y'all had a guy call in one time, and he's talking about taking a little aluminum boat out with a 10-horse motor or something out to the jetties. And it reminded me of that old, I had a 15-horse Buccaneer. And I would hook that onto something and just go anywhere. And it was a reliable little engine.
Yeah, you had the old CBs back then. You had Buccaneers, Elgins. Remember them? Elgins.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and even Western Auto had one. It was air-cooled.
Yeah.
And I think it was about a 7-horse or something like that. And it was air-cooled. It was pretty neat.
My dad had a little old 7.5-horse Elgin he kept in the back, in the trunk of his 52 Chevrolet.
Uh-huh.
And him and my grandpa would drive down to Eagle Point and rent a skiff, and they'd go out to Todd's Dump and catch about 100 trout in just a one, you know, till they ran out of shrimp and then come back in.
That's right. You run out of shrimp, and then you cut off a little piece of white T-shirt and stick it on there under
a
popping cork.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they used cane pole trout back then. You know, they just put a live shrimp on a cane pole and just one after another, flipping them in a boat.
Yeah. You see people heading south towards the water, and they'd all have cane poles sticking out the back window.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a common thing. You can't even find a Calcutta cane pole anymore.
I started laughing about this summer. I was coming home from fishing, and these guys drove by me, and they were an old Ford LTD. And they had them old gar rods hanging out the back window. That rolled down.
Cork.
Yeah, corks flying around and all that trinket trash and big old double drop leaders just a tangled up ball of mess. And I mean big old gar rods hanging out the window.
They were heading to Texas City Dyke. They were going to walk the rocks.
Yeah, they were heading.
Catch a lot of sheep. You can catch some sheephead doing that too, bud. I mean,
yep.
If you're in the sheephead.
Well, what's going on in Liberty County up there, man?
Oh, nothing. We finally decided to cut the faucet off to you.
I'm sure appreciative of that. I talked
to some people, and I said, you know, maybe they've had enough of this fresh water. So we talked about it Wednesday and decided to go ahead and slow it down a little bit.
Well, I'm glad.
Maybe
by May I'll have some good trendy bay fishing.
Yeah, we're down to just about 11 foot at the bridge.
Yeah.
The Highway 90 bridge, about 11 foot above sea level now. It's been 30, just under 30.
Yeah, any Bigfoot sightings up there in the thicket?
Yeah. All the time. you leave your shed door open, you have a family of them in that next morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about getting together with some people and having something like a Yeti festival. we'll just get everybody together. They can bring their pictures and show everybody what they saw all year.
Well, there's somebody called this show years ago. He swore he had one living in his backyard up there in Liberty County somewhere.
Yeah.
And it, oh boy.
Yeah. I was hunting up around Rye, squirrel hunting. And it was real cold, and it'd been raining. It was starting to turn to ice, really. And I was walking along, and you know, when it's like that, you can go through the woods like a ghost.
Yeah.
You don't make any noise. And I went, there was a cluster of yopons or something off in there, and I got over by that, and I stepped on a stick, and when I did, something went to rattling around off in them yopons, and it smelled kind of like a skunk. But it wasn't quite a skunk. It smelled like a skunk at a drag strip, you know, with burning tires.
Yeah.
And anyway, I looked on the other side of it, and I could see, you know, you get in the woods, and you get in the pine woods like that where there's mature trees. You got all these little spindly, smaller ones that are only about a couple of inches around, but they'll grow 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
And something was whipping those things back and forth as it was getting away from me.
Wow.
And I thought, what the heck is that? And I got to thinking about it later, Mickey. And I was listening to the show where this guy was talking about the scent that they put off, and it smells like a skunk.
I've heard that before.
And when I heard that, I said, oh, God, is it possible? did I almost see one? But, you know, it was like if you can imagine a chimpanzee running through the woods with his arms stretching out, and he's grabbing these limbs, you know, these little spindly trees as he's running away from you, trying to get a little bit more speed out of it. And you could see those things whipping. And I don't, you know, I was one at a time, I thought, what the heck? What is that? Maybe it was a bunch of hogs or something that were hitting them as they were leaving out or something. I don't know. And I know they were whipping back and forth like something was grabbing them.
Yeah.
And I often wondered about that. We used to see black bears up there, and where we hunted.
Hey, the black bears are making a comeback. Blaine had a picture of one on his game camera down in South Texas. So
yeah, they are. They're coming back. There's a bunch of them over in Louisiana, and they've been spotted down as far as, you know, where Blaine's at down there. But you know that these old they call them black cougars or something. Black leopards is what they really are. And there's a lot of those being spotted. And I know there was a guy that called in one time, and he spotted a couple of them in League City. They used to hang out over by the gas station. I know exactly where it was because I'd seen them too. And there were a pair of them, you know, two of them anyway. And you'd see them out there, and they didn't seem to be bothered by anyone unless someone took notice of them.
Yeah.
But, they, you know, we got things all around. And we've got too many hogs, I know that. We're not bothered by them here yet, but
I got you. Well, hey, I gotta run, bud. It's break time in the city.
Yeah, I was gonna talk about some other things too, and it kind of got out of my mind, but anyhow, y'all have a good weekend, and take care. I was gonna ask about Councilman Brown, see if he got out yesterday.
I don't know what David Brown did. He's been on the back burner. I hadn't been able to reach him in about a week and a half. He does that though. He just disappears.
Yeah,
all right,
no,
man.
All right, you take care.
Later.
Bye-bye.
And I backed my LPD over that net and didn't feed at night. And I put a little skiff, a little boat on top of the car and tied it. And then when I pulled out, that net hung on some of the stuff on the bottom of my car. And I drug that shrimp net all the way to Fulton. I'm the only way I drug a shrimp net 50 freaking miles didn't catch a damn shrimp, man.
That's hilarious.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey. Captain Benny will tell you where to go and what to throw.
I know what you're thinking, Bunk. You're thinking, did he fire six shots or only five? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself and all this excitement. But being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, presented by Hook's Pit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 440 in the Bayou City. You know, listen to that sound bite of Clint Eastwood. You know, movies like that are just...
They wouldn't make it today, man.
They wouldn't make it today. That's not PC enough. Yep. Punk. Well, do you, punk?
Classic. Well, they'd arrested him. They'd arrested him for trying to get that mentally disabled guy off the street.
Yeah. Well, he was quite deranged.
That he was.
Until he ran into Dirty Harry.
All right. Sobered him up pretty quick.
Yeah, it did. Sobriety's a wonderful thing at times.
At times, so.
All right, let's go up to Highlands, Texas now. Let's see what's going on with Ray Stanley. Race Boat Ray, what's up, bud?
Last time I heard any music like that was at the Quack Shack in 1954.
Quack Shack.
You remember that, don't you?
Quack Shack. Had a good hamburger and a good malt.
Yeah, buddy. How you doing, Captain Benny?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Ray?
Oh, I'm just doing fine. I laughed that you talking. You were out in the Frog Tuesday, right?
Who, me? Yeah, I was frogging all 3 days. Well, Wednesday wasn't bad. It lifted pretty quick. It wasn't too bad.
I was out in the middle of Burnett Bay, and we were pecking away at them and lived. And all of a sudden, I looked around. I couldn't even see out of the boat. And I said, oh, my God, how many times have I been right here in this exact place when this happened? And luckily, these days, I've got that marine traffic app on my phone, so at least I can see some of the guys over in the channel. It's unfortunate that they can't see me, but, you know, having said that, shoot, these days, for not a whole lot of money, less than $400, you can get your VHF radio that has that AIS capability, and that'll let you see them, and they can see you, too. So
that's what... Jeffco uses.
Yeah. And boy, he needs it over there where he is. But last time I was in Burnett Bay and got socked in like that, I did get on my VHF, and hell, most of us don't even have that capability anymore, and got a hold of Houston traffic just to make sure there wasn't anything in the crossovers so I could get back through there and around by the ferry and up to Riverside Inn without running over something bigger than me.
Yeah, well, you know, fog, I got a good rule with that. I stay out of the lanes. You know, channels and shipping lanes and all that, I just stay away from them, period.
Well, if they can't see me and I can't see them and I'm running the Houston Ship Channel, I know it well to get over on the side where it's shallow enough to where the big stuff isn't going to be over there.
Right.
But, of course, the hazard with that, not in the ship channel, but out on the bay, is you do just like Charlie said, you run up on some waders before you know it, which is not a good thing. But anyway, you know, we lived out there amongst those gators at our place out in the marsh, the place, you know, and
yeah,
they were so passive, and we never did lose any dogs or anything like that. That gator must have been pretty hungry to snap onto that dog like that, but... Shoot, we almost treated them like pets out there. Not like we were walking over and petting on them, but...
I had a guy lose a dog with me duck hunting one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty horrifying thing to watch. And you know, it'd been cold. I just couldn't believe there was a gator still out at that time of the year. You know, it was well into December.
Sure.
And this dog's got a duck in his mouth swimming back to the blind, and it just... That was all she wrote.
Yeah.
Was they out in our marsh?
Were they out
in our marsh out there?
No, I was actually hunting a reservoir.
Oh, okay.
And I mean the hunt was over when that happened. This I thought he was going to break down. It was bad. And
The only problem that I've ever had with alligators is when people start feeding them, and then, of course, you wind up with a whole different.
Well, and that may be another thing you got going on there, being under that bridge, too. People could have been feeding that alligator or cleaning fish there, you know?
Right.
I mean, we used to clean fish at the refuge, and those gators would get almost tame. They'd crawl up in the ramp with you to eat eat fish carcasses.
Well, you remember the gator at Anahuac we called Izod?
Mm-hmm.
He hung around there, gosh, for years and years. I don't even know what came of him. He was the gator that had about 3 feet of his tail chopped off. But he hung around that cleaning table for a long, long time. He probably wound up in the freezer of one of those guys, one of those cove guys.
Well, that's true. You know, out there by where I live, there at the landfill, I guess that's
right.
They're on 1405. They built those kind of retainment ponds and put all the marshy looking stuff in there for, you know, waste management does all that environmental looking stuff around a big,
put that salt grass
big
in
turd hole that they dump garbage in all the time, trying to beautify it. But
a big what?
Turd
easy.
Hole.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought I misunderstood.
Well, you know, you heard me. You just wanted me to repeat it again so I can get in trouble.
Who are you going to get in trouble by?
Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a pass. I know what
but anyway, every day I'd go by there, you know, because I always pull down that road going to Thompson's to fish, and there'd be this huge gator sitting on his island out there in these reeds. And that gator was 12, 14 feet long. He was a monster. And I was coming in here to work one morning. It was in the middle of the night, and there was an old Chevy pickup truck pulled over on the side of the road parked, and I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I saw a couple of headlights on somebody's head. Two guys were in that marsh in there, walking in there, and I never saw that gator again.
Mm.
They had noticed, and they went in there and outlawed that gator during the middle of the night, thought nobody would see him. But I saw it, and I never saw that gator again after that night. And
he probably became a pair of boots somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Somebody went in there and outlawed him.
Yeah. Well, you know, we used to have that a lot of problem out in our marsh. People come in there before, even when they were endangered, and even after when you had to have a permit to harvest them. We'd catch guys out there harvesting them and taking them over to Louisiana and selling the tails for $50 a foot.
Yep.
Or whatever they get for them these days. I remember as kids, we used to do that up here on the San Jacinto River back when it was out in the country and everything. We'd get gators and sell the tails for, gosh, I guess it was $15 a foot back in those days. But anyway, that was then and this is now. Now we've got chicks like AOC running around, well, to feed her to the alligators.
Oh, come on, man. it'll all pass. It'll all
well,
pass.
I'll tell you what, she's a load, isn't she?
I'm telling you.
But, anyway.
you know, I've had, I don't know, out all the years I've been wade fishing, I've had two close encounters with gators where I really got nervous and thought, man, you know, this is touch and go while you're in the water wade fishing. Once was over by Hodges.
Right.
On that sandbar I like to wade there. That gator would not let me get back to my boat. And it followed me and Sean everywhere. I had my nephew with me. We were wading. This was about 10 years ago. And then once over in East Bay on the North Shoreline, I had a monster one do the same thing. Every time I'd zig, he would zag. And he was, you know, I'm trying to get to my boat. And I'd walk out of the way, and he'd go under and pop up between me and the boat again. And when they're 10, 12 feet long, that'll make you real nervous. It really does.
You know what they are more than anything else is they're a curious creature.
Yeah, well, you know what? I could care less about their curiosity. I'm not going to give them the opportunity to eat me.
Yeah.
And, I just can't believe that a creature, a prehistoric animal like that with a brain the size of a pea and lives off of instinctive capabilities would not eat somebody, because it does happen. People get eaten.
It's very, very, very rare. And, you know, once again, our place out in the marsh, you know, we'd bring guests out there and they'd see them and they'd just be petrified. And I always told them, they're not aggressive, and they certainly weren't in our case, or at least we didn't have any history of that kind of stuff. I said, just leave them be. And, of course, they wouldn't get that close to our house out there, but the thing that would spook them is just that airboat ride out there where they're jumping off the bank every quarter of a mile. And
Well, ask that old boy over in Port Arthur, went home drunk at night and dove in that pond where it says no swimming, gators prevalent.
Yeah.
And he dove in, you know, all macho and drunk, and they said it sounded like a tarpon blowing up on a huge tarp water. That was the end of him.
Well, he just committed suicide. That's all he is.
Yeah, that's what he did. I just, I don't know. I've had a couple of close calls, and I'm leery of them. If they're, you know, if they're 6-7 feet long, I don't worry with them too much. But
no.
You know, when they get up in at 10-12 foot range, buddy, yep. I'm real, real nervous.
You're sitting in front of your crystal ball. Dial up the OFS site there and look out in front of Umbrella Point.
I already looked at it yesterday. I look at it every day about 5 times a day. So what am I supposed to see there? 3 parts per thousand salinity?
Oh, yeah. You see that there?
Yeah, it's just a little ball
of it. The only thing bad about the OFS site, it's just telling you what's happening on the top. And the water's beginning to salt up on the bottom, or at least it is up this way. And of course, you're seeing it move, and that blue dot that you see, that's the first time we've seen that in our bay, and that's right out in front of Umbrella Point. So change is coming, and that's
That'll be real nice when we spread out what little bit of fish we got, and it'll really be tough then.
Lake Houston's still running over.
I mean, the blessing is right now where these fish are stacked up in areas because of the fresh water. When you salt the whole bay up and spread them out, look what'll happen. Just what we went through last summer.
Well, you know, I guess I have to say that we've seen that more than one time in our lifetime.
When have you seen the wells in Trinity Bay as bad as they were last summer?
Well, I guess I've got to say never.
Never. I haven't either, even after the freezes.
Yeah, that was definitely different, and hopefully it will change and come back so we won't get one more year of it. But, you're right. It was unbelievable. We've had a tough 3 years, I can tell you that.
Four. It's four.
Is it four?
Yeah, it's four.
But years are getting away from me fast.
Yeah, Ooh. They are.
So
record floods for four, record drought for four. That's 8 years of really obscene patterns.
Yeah, can we please just hit it in the middle for a year?
No, we need 4 years to hit it in the middle. And, you know, we get a four-year duration and get it right again, well, our fishery will come back so big you can't believe it. It'll just bounce back like crazy.
So that new reel you got, what is that? What's the model of it?
It's a TXZ.
TXZ.
Yeah, it's the TX reel that has the Z bearings in it, and it's got a little different color coordination to it. It's the, you know, it's that turquoise and black. It's got some black overlay, and it's a good-looking reel. It's got a different handle on it. They don't have the cork paddle handles anymore. They've got like a roller handle, a bigger knob on it, but I got used to it real quick. I really enjoyed them this week fishing with them.
Did you spool it up with the orange string?
Yeah, I put the old sensation on it, Berkeley sensation.
Right. Well, I guess I can't stand it if I don't have the latest and greatest, but I don't have one of those yet. I was just Googling it up just a few minutes ago. Yeah,
they're sweet. I enjoyed them. The drags, I mean, everything performed beautifully. So, you know, just like the orange.
Are they available at Hooks Fit?
Man, I don't know. They sent them to me, and I don't know who's got them in stock yet. I know they're at the fishing show. I'm sure Fish and Tackle Unlimited or somebody will have them in stock.
Oh, yeah.
Or Waterloo or somebody.
Yeah, I've been. I went out to Fish and Tackle Unlimited the other day when I questioned you about this Sims jacket. And their stock of Sims stuff is pretty doggone low right now. And they
really?
Don't have the really high dollar stuff at all. So
what, FTU?
Yeah.
I
wanted, you know, that jacket that you're wearing is like $400 these days.
I know.
And
that's why I guard it with my life.
And Amazon has got them for maybe just slightly less than that.
I've been waiting in that jacket now for 6-7 years. Long time. It's held up really good.
you've got it in. I still have one of the old Gore-Tex camo jackets that that I had when we had our place out in the marsh. And of course, it keeps you pretty doggone good and warm. But it is just these days, it's a little bit too heavy for an 80-year-old guy to be wagging around.
Yeah, I know it. All right, Ray, I got to roll out, bud. It's good hearing from you, and thanks for the call.
Yeah, you bet. Well, we'll tag up. I'm still waiting for that phone to ring one afternoon when you're looking for somebody jumping that boat.
Okay, all right. Watch out for them gators, man.
10-4 on watching.
All right, brother. Later, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.